Hi, Jim here, and you're listening to the Honest Filmmaker podcast, career advice from people in the business. This week, I'm speaking to fashion consultant, stylist, and costume designer, Wilfrey Vasquez-Torres. Wilfrey is a sought-after celebrity stylist, having worked with Cher, Christina Aguilera, Kim Kardashian, and Selena Gomez. He's also worked on several feature films and television shows as costume designer and regularly works at fashion shows. I talked to Wilfrey about how he got into the industry, how he works with his celebrity clients, how he keeps up to date with fashion trends, and his tips for you starting your career. Enjoy. So I'll start where I start with most people. And this is, did you go to university? Where did you study?
I didn't go to university. I started, but I never finished.
Okay.
I started going to school for musical theater and then stumbled into fashion, and here we are.
Oh, really? Okay. So how, so you didn't finish that music course, did you, fashion? How did you then end up getting work without that qualification?
So I was working retail, and I learned in retail what visual merchandising was. Right. No one really knows what that is unless, you know, you're going to school for fashion. And once I got into visual merchandising, it was kind of like a networking thing where the more I got hired for different kind of jobs, the more people I got to meet that worked in the industry. And I believe I was the visual supervisor for Converse. They were opening the first Converse store in New York City. Wow. And I was the visual supervisor there. And one of the associates who I was really cool with was like, hey, I work for a designer and she has a runway show and we need help. Mm. You have an eye. I like what you do with the store. Do you want to help? And then that's how it started. And I started working with Irina Shabayeva as her executive assistant, doing everything, you know, whether it was beating on a dress or helping her create her VIP guest list and kind of like, coming through the interviews, everyone that wanted to interview her on the day, making sure the models were ready for the stage. So I did that with her for probably, I mean, I still do it to this day. So it's been a good like 12 years that I've been doing it with her. And as I worked more with her, I got to work with different celebrities and also work on different projects and do, you know, a lot of cool things up until I decided that I wanted to do it full time.
Right.
So, and then here we are.
Here we are. Yeah. Oh, that's cool. So, and this is another, I keep finding myself talking to people who are in industries that are so far removed from me and I know nothing about. So it's fascinating. So for example, let's look at a fashion show. I'm imagining backstage, people getting made up, people getting the hair done, going past someone like you who's going, yeah, you look good, or get back in the chair. Is that what happens?
Yeah. So typically, I'll give you a little bit of a rundown of what happens on the day.
Yeah.
Typically, I would arrive and then I will check in with the lead key makeup person and the lead hair person. Mm-hmm. And then I'll also check in with the executive producers, make sure we're all set, show is going to be running on time. I'll give them my list. I'll check in with the DJ, make sure they have the right music. And as I'm checking in with hair and makeup, I review that they have the proper images of what the designer wants for the show. And, you know, as they're getting the models ready, I'll check them off. I'll look at them and I'll say, good, no, you need to darken this eye. You need to shade this more, or we need to do it all over again. Or sometimes I have to yell. I don't like to, but... When you have to speak to a room of like over 350 people, you have no other option. And they know once my voice gets loud, everybody starts quieting down. And I'm like, we have 20 minutes. I need my girls. I have an hour. I need my girls. So it's a bit chaotic.
Yeah.
Backstage, but it's controlled chaos. So it's the fun part about it. So.
And so what was it like doing the first one? Did you know... Did someone explain to you all the things you had to do, or did you just sort of make it up as you went along?
No, not at all. I had an eye for fashion and I had an eye for intricacy and an eye for detail, which is very important in what I do. And the girl that brought me on and the designer immediately saw that, the way I spoke about things, the way I handled the garments, the way I would understand what she was talking about when she was talking about certain things. I always loved clothing and looking good. And making sure that my appearance mattered. And especially when you're working in the visual department, everyone's always looking at you for inspiration, especially the sales associates, because they don't know how to dress. They dress how the mannequin looks, you know, like that's the brand of the store, so that's how they should dress. So when they see you, you know, it's like, okay, does he look like a visual person? Is this person inspiring to the brand? Is it going to make me want to dress that way? And I think she picked up on that. And it's one of those things where you can't go to school for that. You can go to school to be a designer. You can go to school to be a stylist. But if it's not in your blood, it's just not meant for you. I've met plenty of people networking that thought that's what they wanted to do and they just couldn't. They're not good designers, or they're not good stylists, or they're not good merchandisers, even though they love it. Just because you love something doesn't mean that you have to divulge your full life into it, thinking that that's how you're going to build your career.
Yeah,
I started on camera, went to retail, and then went behind the scenes. So like, it's forever changing and evolving. But yeah.
And so you were talking, what's interesting there is you're talking about the way that you dress is important, because people will read in from that. Oh, he knows, you know, he's wearing a nice outfit. He knows what he's doing. So that's obviously something to consider. You can't turn up looking like a bag of shit, expecting someone to employ you for a job in fashion. It's a good
100%.
Tip.
Yes, you have to inspire. If you're not inspiring in any career job, it's like, what are you doing? If you have a job and you're working with people specifically, it matters, because it changes the mood of the day. It changes how, the direction that the team is heading, how quickly things get done. If you're a drab and you're dressed like a drab, I mean, what do you expect? That, you know, it's going to be a rainy day in London every day in the office, right? So we don't want that.
So thinking about something like New York Fashion Week, I think I saw some things pop up in your Insta from that. If I say I'm a fashion student, or I'm somebody who's really passionate about fashion, can I go to that? Or is that invite only? Is it an exclusive thing? Or how's it work?
It's 9 times out of 10 it's invite only. There are certain events where you can pay for a ticket and go watch the show. There are also some programs that do collaborations with colleges and have the students intern.
Right.
Or come in and be a PA. And, you know, they don't get paid for the job, but they get to experience it and get to see it firsthand. So sometimes they'll get to watch the show, but it's mostly behind the scenes. And if there's time and if there's a spot for them to kind of slide out and watch it, they try to get them out there so they can see it. It's their first, you know, we want to inspire the new generation, and we can inspire them if we can show them hand by hand the work that it takes to get there. You can't just go by what you see in the media and on the tabloids. It's like, yeah, it looks fun and cool. But you need to see how much work it takes to get there. You know, it's not just handed to you. Yeah, you can be in the right room because you're so-and-so's child. But are you good? You know, are you going to have the longevity? Are you going to become the household brand you want to become? And the only way you can do that is by, you know, learning, interning, doing it for free. I did it for free for 12 years.
Well,
you know what I mean? And I still had a full-time job on top of that. So I wasn't just doing it for free and not making money. I have to live. Yeah. So in my spare time, I was like, okay, this is how much time I have. Let's do it. Let's get it together. And yeah, so.
Wowzers. Okay. And is there anything, if you could go back in time and talk to Will Free entering the industry, what would you say to him? What advice would you give him?
You should have started sooner on your own.
Right. Okay.
Yeah, because once I got started in fashion back, I believe it was in 2011, 2010, around that area, around those years, I continued to work retail. And then I was working for Ralph Lauren's Club Monaco, where I became, you know, brand stylist there. And I kept, you know, escalating in my roles in retail. And I was working for someone else. And I was consistently being creative, but also, what's the word I'm looking for, boxed in as to how far my creative can go. And I wasn't really doing it on my own. And it took for the company to say, hey, we're doing a halt on expanding stores, and that promotion that you were going to get is going to be put on hold. I said, got you. That's my cue to go. And I left New York City and I started working in production. And yeah, so it was It should have started sooner.
Right.
Definitely should have started sooner.
That's good advice. And talking about the stylist side, so what was your first job as a sort of stylist, whether that be a celebrity or whoever?
My first job as a stylist was actually working very closely with a designer. You know, she's creating all these amazing pieces and she needed help, like dressing herself for the interviews and all that stuff. So I was working with her a little bit, as well as the clients that would come to see her, you know, from stylists of Lindsay Lohan, Demi Lovato, Fergie, Carrie Underwood. She would be like, okay, what should we send them? And I would work with her and kind of style in that way together with her, and kind of learning the ropes of how things go. You know, she made them the dress that Kim K wore when she got married to Kanye. So like, and I believe Kelly Ripa? Was it Kelly Ripa when she got married on TV? She also had to make the dress really fast. So I was styling there, but doing it on my own, I think my first styling gig was a transgender teen that a mom of a friend was like, hey, I need help. It was a transgender teen that was transitioning from male to female, and she didn't know how to dress for how she felt. And all we know growing up is what we're taught by our communities, but also what we see growing up, right? A man dresses like a man and a female dresses like a female. You know, we're giving gender to clothing. So it was a fun way of introducing my solo styling career. And from doing that personally with her, I started to expand and kind of, as I was working in production, doing designing for TV shows, commercials, and movies, and music videos, I started taking on more personal styling clients.
Yeah. So talking about that, obviously, that can be a delicate situation, styling somebody. And for example, what happens if I turn up to you and I go, right, I'm going to the Emmys, I want to wear a bright orange suit, what do you think? And I'm really set on it. How do you talk me down from something like that?
Well, first off, I like to talk about trends.
Yeah.
And the aesthetic of the artist, right? Who you are. Is it going to work with your aesthetic? Is it on trends? Because let's be honest, I'm not saying you have to be totally on trend, but you need to know what the trends are, because you're either going to go with it or go against it and create your own route. You can't create your own route if you don't know what's happening. You can't say, I did it first if it's already been done. So that's where my conversations kind of start. Okay, let's talk about it. What was the inspiration for it? You saw someone else wearing it. If I think it's going to look great on you, I would say, let's do it, but let's make it your own. Let's switch it up. Like, how can we individualize it? Because that for me is very important. I don't want to just buy something and put it on you, or pull something from a designer and just put it on you just because it's pretty and you like it. Is it you? Is it a part of who you are? Like, what are the message that we're trying to convey here? Like, who's the girl that's on the red carpet today? Or who's the man that's on the red carpet today?
Yeah. Okay. Have you ever got it wrong? Have you ever sent somebody to somewhere and gone, oh, that didn't quite work how I want it to work? Or has it all been all right? You don't have to tell me who it was if you got it wrong.
I don't think I got it wrong. I think I wish I would have been there.
Right.
Because I think there was one of my clients who wore a dress for a really big award. She looks beautiful. And I just gave away it was a she, but she looks beautiful. And, you know, I think if I would have been there, I would have made sure that he looked as perfect can be. Right. He still looked great, but, you know, I want a little bit of a control freak in that way. Like, if it's my creation going out there, or my creativity being put on someone else, I want to make sure that it's you're being seen in your best light.
Yeah, fair enough. It sounds like, and by the look of your website, you've worked with a lot of these big names. Do you ever get starstruck? Is there anyone you've kind of got a bit overwhelmed working with?
Starstruck. I would have to say my starstruck moment was Christina Aguilera. because I would get hired through a third party agency to like come in like, hey, they need someone to help with the tour while it's in town. And that's how I got to work on a lot of these tours. And they need you. And they'll be like, hey, I need you as this. But then I end up, you know, tailoring, dressing, doing whatever they need.
Yeah.
And I remember I was running late because I was coming from another shoot, and they're like, still get here, we need your hands on deck. I'm on stage, Christina Aguilera is wearing this, I forget who the designer was. He was doing like Kesa, Paco Rabanne, I can't remember. This wedding gown with a train, and the train was made out of this lace and it had this beading on it. And I had not connected with her. Now I was gonna be working with her team for a couple of days. So earlier in the day, I was setting up, fixing some things for her interview that she was gonna have the next day. And first time I'm meeting her is on stage. She's about to go on stage. And I'm backstage and they're like, okay, I need you to do this. And like, they're directing me of what to do and where to go. I'm pulling up the train and someone steps on one of the beads. She turns around again. This is my first time seeing Christina Aguilera face to face. Like we haven't met yet. Like we haven't spoken, nothing. And someone steps on the train the moment I grabbed it. She looked back and I swear if her eyes were scissors, luckily it was not me. And I looked at her and I was like, shaking my head, no, no, no. But always been a huge Christina Aguilera fan. And she was very lovely and very nice about the whole thing. But at that moment, you're about to go on stage and you hear cracking. Like, what do you expect?
Yeah.
So.
Yes, that must have been
definitely
rough.
Yeah.
And I'm assuming.
I got through it.
You got through it. Yeah, that's what counts. And I'm assuming you enjoy shopping.
Yeah, believe it or not, not for myself. Right. But I love shopping for others. That's the crazy part.
I bet. And is that because I hate shopping? So is your partner like shopping? Do you both enjoy shopping, or
husband, listen, he loves shopping as much as I do.
Yeah.
So usually the best thing about having a partner who's creative as well is I bring him along as my first assistant in everything. Oh. He knows how I work. He knows what I need, and he takes care of me because there's times where I'm just on go mode that I do not have the time to eat or do not have the time to take 5 minutes. Mm-hmm. Sometimes I don't, but he's like, okay, we need to get him this. We need to get him that. So he like takes care of me and makes sure that, I'm good to be there for the day.
Yeah, that is a very similar situation. So I direct, my wife produces, and she often will look out for me, which is, so it sounds like a very similar situation.
Love it.
What I was going to ask now about was costume on movies, that kind of stuff. So costume design, how did you get into that? What sort of projects have you worked on?
So my first project that I worked on was a docu-style kind of movie that was done for Amazon. And he was a friend of a friend. Mm-hmm. And he saw my work, my styling work, and saw that I was creative. I was like, look, I've been talking to my friends and we think we want to give you the opportunity to do this. And it was my first costume designing job. It was called The Mighty Atom. Mm-hmm. And I had to style pieces from the 1960s and 70s on a documentary about this man, the strongest man in the world, The Mighty Atom. I don't know if you know his story, but it's quite beautiful. And I did that. And then once I got that under my repertoire, it was like, okay, now I have costume designing under my belt. So whenever there were jobs or network connections, I mean, it was all hearsay. Mm. There was no platform where you really go to and kind of like, oh, hey, look at me. Look what I can do. Hire me.
Yeah,
It's all word of mouth. All word of mouth. That's how I've done it. No agent either.
I was going to say, that was going to be one of my questions was, do you have an agent? So I'm guessing you get all your own work. Is that right? Yeah.
Yep. Yes, I do. Again, like once I work with one client, they'll open the door to something else.
Yeah.
Or they'll reach out to me. Like I've had PR companies reach out to me to work with certain celebrities out of nowhere through my Instagram, or they'll go on my website and they'll send me a little message and be like, hey, I saw your work. Can we talk? I have some fun projects coming up.
Yeah.
And then again, networking is everything. Like the project that I just worked on this past summer was through someone actually that we hadn't worked together. We've always heard about each other. We try to work together on the same job, but it never happens. Mm-hmm. She's like, look, I hope you're available this time. Cause now at this point, everybody that I know that's on this job is recommending you. So we finally were able to work together, and it was a really cool project for Michael Bay that's going to be coming out very soon. I don't know if you know who Michael Bay is.
Yeah.
Pretty big name in the industry. Yeah. So it's pretty exciting. That's coming out hopefully in the fall, summer, fall. So yeah.
Cool.
Networking.
All right. So then I know how networking works with filmmakers. Is it any different with fashion? What are your tips for networking for people who find it difficult?
Don't be afraid to approach. Don't be afraid to engage in conversation. Treat it as if you're getting to know a friend. Let's say you're out at a bar and you're by yourself and you see a group of people that are laughing or having a good time and you want to just approach like, hey, my name is so-and-so. Are you doing today at a bar? Obviously, you wouldn't say, what do you do? Or like, what brought you on here? You know, like you wouldn't ask those questions. But the same idea of the same way you would approach somebody at a bar or out and about that you see that you think they're cool or want to engage and make new friends. It's think about it as like you're making new friends.
Yeah.
You approach, feel comfortable in the conversation. You don't need to go in with, here's my resume. You know, like that's, you don't need to be that strong.
Yeah.
Just a simple, hey, how are you? What brought you here? Like, how are you connected with where we are? Who do you know? Because maybe 9 times out of 10, you might know the same people.
Mm-hmm.
And then that gives it another topic of conversation. And then you guys can connect.
Yeah. And the other thing I would add is we, as filmmakers, obviously we're obsessed with movies. So we talk about movies. So I imagine you guys talk about fashion and all that kind of stuff, what you love.
Oh, yeah.
made me think of another question is, how do you keep on top of what is on trend or what's popular, what's fashionable?
It's so hard.
Mm.
It's so hard because fashion is forever changing and forever evolving. It never stays the same. For example, right now, what's like on hot trend is this new cowboy look, right? I'm like, I just did a commercial with Mariano Rivera a couple of months ago, actually, just last year, that hasn't aired yet. Mm. And I don't know if you know who Mariano Rivera is, but he's a New York Yankees Hall of Famer.
Oh, I do not know
him. And he, you know, pretty big name in the in the MLB world. And he, you know, I dressed him in a cowboy outfit. And now all of a sudden, now that's trending.
Yeah.
And I'm like, you just don't know. And it's like, yes, I'll stay on top of Deadline. Vogue magazine, of course, is one of my major go-tos as I'm a Vogue Club member. And I enjoy the perks of being a part of that world and that community. Also just strolling through the interweb and just kind of what's happening with the designs that are on the runways, the shows that I don't make because there's way too many shows. There's more shows than you have time to go.
Mm.
There's times that during Fashion Week, like this past Fashion Week, I had 15 shows, including my own show that I was doing for the first time ever. And that was like very overwhelming because that takes away from the time of you going to go see other shows, but then it's like an honor and it's a good thing. So, but yeah, you just have to stay on top of it as much as you can, you know? Yeah.
So just taking a few takeaways from some of the things you've said is, so it sounds like your website, your Instagram is super important to show people what you're up to, what you're doing, your style.
Yes.
And then networking, super important. And then, like you say, your Vogue, your Deadline, keeping your eyes and your ears open for stuff that's sort of happening in the industry. You also, this is the other question, is going to be about, you seem to be able to do a lot of different things. Is that because you love doing all those things, or is that because you thought one thing isn't enough financially, or what's the, because you even do hair and makeup, don't you? So you've got all these skills. Are they because you love it all, or because you want to be able to do it all?
At first, I did not know that I loved it all.
Yeah.
But I do love it all. At first, it was one of those things where I started doing it and I started noticing that there was a niche in the market for people that could do it all and can do it well. Mm-hmm. There's many people that say they can do it all and they lack on one or the other, you know? And through my experience of runway shows and working with, you know, a lot of clients here in New York, when I moved to Washington, D.C., I was like, everybody, when they hear you're from New York, forget about it. They're like, oh, you're from New York. Great. Fashion capital. You know what you're doing. And I kind of just got into makeup and was like, you know what? Let me do it. For film and television, it's not too crazy. I'm not doing this full glam look like, you know, Beyonce going on the red carpet. You know, like that's not what I'm doing. We don't do, I mean, you know, working in film, you don't need all that. You just need to make sure the person's de-shined. Beauty. So yeah, so I started doing it because there was a niche in the market. And I noticed that the more versatile I was releasing myself as, I was getting more work.
Mm-hmm.
And it was like, oh, so yes, financially, it made sense 100%. Now, I love doing the costume and the wardrobing part a lot more than I do the hair and makeup. But just because I feel like you could be a little bit more creative with what you're wearing, you know, than hair and makeup. But I love to do both.
I hope you enjoyed this week's episode. If you want more advice from industry professionals who are out there at the moment working, or you just want to listen to some cool stories from film sets from around the world, then please do subscribe.